Over the next few minutes, I'm going to be going through a new... Oh, I want to get these out. Don't want to forget this. A couple of volunteers. I'd like each one to get one of these of our publication. Now, please, don't look through it while I'm speaking. I should hand it out at the end. And I see we have some young people back there. Do you have your phones with you? Okay, you need those because we're going to be looking at some stuff on your... Now, if you ask me how to use my phone, forget it. Even though we have four daughters and our 14 grandchildren, anytime I have a question about my phone, I have to ask them what's going on. But the only thing I really don't like is one of our granddaughters, Cameron, she's 13 now, isn't she?
Yeah.
13. Somehow they got her on my cell phone so I can tell wherever she's at, anywhere in the country. But it also tells me when her battery's dead. And I don't care if her battery's dead. At 3 o'clock in the morning, he'll say you have 6% left on your battery, and I don't care. So, but I hope, the other thing is, hope I operate this right. Mary and I really love traveling for World Bible School and speaking at congregations because I feel it's just a glimpse of what heaven's going to be like. Have you ever sat down and think, you know, and you're reading through Revelation or you're thinking about, especially when you get my age, I just turned, well, I'm going to be 76, ain't I? 76 years old. And you start thinking more about heaven and you think, what am I going to do for eternity? Well, I've got a glimpse of that. Just traveling from congregation to congregation, it's going to take us for eternity to get to know each other. Think about the joy and the happiness to be there. No more sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more worry. I worry every night and pray for our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. Won't have to worry about that in heaven. But this evening, I want to take a few minutes and share with you a brand new presentation. And as we go through the presentation, if I go through it too fast, that's okay. If you have any questions, Mary and I will be out in the foyer and we'll try to answer those questions if we know the answer. If we don't, we'll get your name and we'll get back with you. But I'm really excited about the work at World Bible School. We've been there 19 years. And every day it gets more and more exciting. So I'm going to kind of come up so a little closer. You'll hear my voice. And the reason I'm getting closer is my eyes are getting a little bit harder to see things. But World Bible School, Become Fishers of Men, is our theme for the next 3 years. Our mission is very basic. It's to share Jesus with the world by motivating and equipping a global network of Christians to use interactive Bible studies effectively. We don't do the work. All we do is provide the material to congregations across our brotherhood. Some 8,000 congregations, we're trying to get out and encourage them to get involved with World Bible School. For every member to have a way where they can go out and tell someone about the hope that is within them. That's not easy all the time, is it? Some of our relatives can be the hardest people to talk to, or our neighbor. But with the materials we have now, it makes it easy for all of us to share Jesus. World Bible School has been around, we just finished 50 years. 50 years since 1973, 40 million plus individuals have started a Bible study through World Bible School. Man, that's a lot of people. But now, you know what's going on right now? You know, we hear all the negative things that are going on around the world. But right now, on an average, every 30 seconds, think about it, 30 seconds go by pretty fast, somewhere in the world, someone is signing up for World Bible School Bible study. Every 30 seconds. It all started because of this man, Jimmy Leavell, an example of vision. He had this idea. He actually grew up in Portland, Tennessee, moved out to California, worked for DuPont. And what he did, he sold gunpowder and dynamite. But he was a sharpshooter, too. He would go out and do demonstrations and show how good he was at shooting at targets. But his real target was he wanted to send the gospel out. So when did his dream start? 1944, Jimmy was asked by the Lawrence Avenue Church in Nashville, Tennessee, to go out and raise some funds. Museum wanted to put correspondence courses together for those that were serving in the military. How many here have served in the military at all? Raise your hand. Any Vietnam veterans? I was there from 65 through 69. And 68 was a rough year, wasn't it? Tet Offensive. But God bless you for what you did there. My dad went and joined up and went to Germany and fought in Germany during World War II. What was so unique about my dad is he had MS and snuck in. That was a generation that they were bold. And my dad, I don't know physically how he got in there, but he got into the Army and served his 4 years. And while that was going on, the congregation on Lawrence Avenue says, we need to share the gospel with those that are serving in the military, and asked Jimmy to take up money, and he did. And he got the money together, made the correspondence courses, and they started sending them out. Of all things, one afternoon, and I heard this from his best friend, CEOSN, there on the left-hand side, was walking along the road, and he looked down, and there was a piece of paper there. He picked it up. This was in Nigeria, not Germany. He picked up the paper, and guess what it was? It was one of those correspondence courses. He picked it up, read it, and says, oh, I've been looking for some answers. And he contacts Lawrence Avenue, and they communicated back and forth, and he found out what the gospel was. He was taught the gospel, had someone baptize him. In 1950, we sent our first missionaries over there, and one of them was Boyd Reese. He was the father of John Reese, who was the president of World Bible School, the way things work. When they got there, there wasn't just one Christian, but that man there went out and taught, and when they arrived, there were 10,000 Christians. 10,000 had obeyed the gospel in that 6 years because of that effort and that vision. In 1973, it just exploded. And Jimmy Level said, I need help. And he put a call out to the churches and said, I need more members out there teaching about Jesus. And so that was the beginning of World Bible School. Now the 50 years have gone. I showed you the 40 million. What about, do we give up now? No. Jimmy's yelling out again. Let's go 50 forward. And we're excited because World Bible School is no more one-dimensional, but we have four different programs that we use to reach out and teach others about Jesus. And we'll go over each one of these briefly. Postal, online, Ocean Bridge. And you're going to say, what is Ocean Bridge? Did you build a bridge over the ocean? You'll see in a moment. And then Methodist. The first one, postal. And just last year alone, the postal, those that signed up around the world, we had, you can see, over 700,000 new students sign up to study on paper. So is paper still valuable? Yes, it is, because I'm part of that group that still studies on paper. But we have volunteers and congregations across the country that will correct those correspondence courses, mail them to their students, and hopefully they'll get through the whole master series and they learn about the Father, the Son, the Church, how to become a Christian, and how to live a Christian life through our master series program. By the way, John Reese wrote all those too. And I have samples out on the table, out in the foyer. Online courses. When you look at online courses, it's just like the paper courses, except it's online. You go on your phone, smartphone, or whatever you want to use, computer, smartphone. We have one new program in third world countries. When Mary and I, we've been to Africa, and a couple years ago, I asked her to volunteer, and she did, to go to India with me. Third world countries are a little different. They have the cell phones, but they don't have the money to pay for the time on the cell phone. So we developed this app that they can use. It's called Light App, where they can go on there and they can download the whole course in a very short time, study, and then send back their results from their study. Online last year, over 167,000 new students. And I mean across the world, even in America. And that's another program that congregation can get involved in. Looking at the online courses, and you see from that, just last year we had 275 online baptism requests. And when you say, what do you mean by request? Well, we'll have someone that'll go through the study, they'll let their teacher know, hey, I'm ready to become a Christian. So we have to find out where the nearest congregation is, or somebody that can do a follow-up and baptize them into Christ and get them into a congregation nearest to them as we can. Sometimes that can be hard. We're in foreign countries. We have, when you look at the stats here, we had 432 new study helpers. These are individuals like you in the congregation that says, hey, I want to become a study helper, and they can go to the internet, go to worldbibleschool.net, and sign up to be a helper. From that, we had also 92 new congregations. We have over 700 that are involved, but we had 92 new ones. Every week, we pray another one will start. And the figure there, when this slide was put together, this is not unusual. Think about that. 1,346 students somewhere in this world are waiting on the internet for a teacher. You talk about what Jesus said to his disciples in Samaria. Remember what he said? He said, raise your eyes and look. The fields are white unto harvest. What was going on at that time? The people from Sychar were coming out to see Jesus. Why were they coming out to see Jesus? Because of a lady that had been married five times, and one that she's with now wasn't even her husband. You talk about winning souls. Do we look at her as a prospect? Jesus did, and that's why we should never, never judge people. All are ready and willing to be told or share the gospel, but not all will respond. We need to go out there and share the gospel of Jesus. Become a study helper. Here's where your phones come in. You know how to take that photo. You just take it up there and you snap that QR code and you can get right on there and make and apply as study helper. If you're out there and you want to study with someone around the world, the Bible, and we help you even to the point that it's auto-graded. What we want you to do is to sign up and get to know some of these people that are wanting to know about Jesus. The third program I want to talk to you about real quick is Connect. Connect is a program for local congregations to reach out anywhere in the world. And right now, if you want a student on the internet, you sign up to be a teacher on the internet, you go to a student board. And on the student board, it'll list all these students that are waiting to study the Bible. It'll give their nationality, what their language is, mainly English, what country, how old they are, and what type of religious affiliation they have. So we give you some information up front. But Connect's a little different. It's like that, except you turn around and you become, as a congregation, part of this program, free program, and you develop your own Connect program where you can go and reach out, and all those students that come on the student board are your students. They come to you. What about the population of Greene County? Is this Greene County? Look at this. Greene County, 300,000 individuals living in this country, or this county. Think about it. This county alone, you could come along and set up a Connect program. You could draw a circle of how far you want to reach out from the congregation. You would have your own, see where it says insert here? You could develop your own material, and we have the template for the material. You put in there on the front whatever you want. You could put on watermill.worldbibleschool.net. You can advertise in your local paper, on your sign out front, your bulletin. There's so many ways. You can develop your own campaign. This is so cool. These, you can put together your own campaign and go and hang, put hangers on doors, and hopefully you won't get shot, but you hang those on the doors. And go out there. You can advertise on billboards. We have the template for the program. You see, I get so excited about this because this is a way congregation can get involved. Because aren't we seed sowers? Brothers and sisters, I say this at congregations. My wife grew up on a farm, and her daddy, Arnold, did not sit on the porch in the spring and look at his acreage out there and say, well, I want to grow some corn this year. I'm just going to sit down and wait and see what happens during harvest. He didn't do that. He planted seed. And if we plant the seed that God talks about, which is what? The Word of God. And we help provide that for you. What's going to happen? You throw it out there, like the parable of the sower. You get one of four responses. But once in a while, you'll get that one person that will obey the gospel and bring you a crop of 30, 60, and 100 fold. It's happening all the time. You log in, and you can get customized templates. You go, we got it all there for you. You just download it, bring it back, take it to your printer, print it, and start. Those little cards are really neat. You can sit in a restroom, be talking to the waitress, and say, do you go to church anywhere? We don't do that. What's the big thing going now? The Final Four? I don't even know who won yesterday. I was following. But we'll talk about everything but Jesus. Boy, be surprised. Mary and I get surprised all the time. I don't know how many times. I was with the eldership. What was it? Over in Paragu, and we were out eating after services. And a waitress came by, and I said to her, do you go to church anywhere? She says, no. I just moved over here from another part of Tennessee. And I'm so busy, I haven't had a chance to go to church yet. But I'm looking. I said, you're looking? And she says, yeah. And I said, where'd you go to church over there? And she said, a place called the Church of Christ over there. And the elders perked up and they go, we got a program coming to our congregation. We don't talk about it. We talk about everything but Jesus. The Connect program is now working really close with Heart to Heart and Sunset. I'm really happy about Sunset because we have students that will go through our courses and they want to go further. And we have some that will get to the point they want to become preachers in different parts of the world. And we send them over to Sunset, and Sunset takes them to the next step. Have you ever used House to House? Anyways, House to House is a good program. And you can put your advertising on there, and it goes out to houses in your neighborhood. Okay, I'm slowing down. I got to build back up again, get through this. So I don't have anybody. I said we ought to put recliners up in the front row for the preachers. And they said to me, no, we'd all be sleeping. So I know, so we won't have recliners. But I'll get through this real quick for you here. Our fourth program is Ocean Bridge, Digital Scanning Correspondence Course. What's so cool about this, in some of our countries, the Postal Service just went dead at COVID time. So we had to come up with a new way of doing the correspondence course. So now what we do is we have the materials in various countries. And we sign up the students. They will fill out their answer sheet. We digitally send them over to congregations. And they do the grading. They send it back to the service center. The service center goes on and gives them the next book. Quick? Yeah. Within a few days. Makes it a lot better than what it used to be. We had 44,000 new students on Ocean Bridge alone, 40 active congregations. We just started this program. And 40 congregations have come on, six different countries, 61,000 students just last year. And so Ocean Bridge is really a great program. And from that, 95,501 lessons were completed through Ocean Bridge. That's a lot of lessons, but also takes a lot of Christians volunteering. You're never too old, and you're never too young. Here's a congregation where one of the deacons in a congregation, Concord Church of Christ in Brentwood, Tennessee, looked at our program, looked at Ocean Bridge, and said, why can't I get the teenagers involved? So on Wednesday night, they come together. And their youth program are going out and spreading the gospel. And he said, the last time I talked with him, he said, they are so excited hearing back from the students that they're studying with and hearing about them obeying the gospel. They're evangelizing our young people. Starting out, I wish I had that when I was younger. It's a way to get our young people stronger in the faith. So important. These are the countries we're in right now. There's six of them listed, and we hope to expand one new country each year. Benthetis. This is a program that... It's a USA-only program, but it's truly an act of God. This program was $2 million to put this together, and we did not have the funding for it. It is so well done with video and lessons, and it was mainly for young people out there that didn't know anything about Jesus. They go on the internet, and they're searching, and they get in group studies with young people around the world. But what happened, it expanded beyond that. I can't say enough about this program. We developed four booklets because one family came in and gave us $2 million to do this program. And so it has the four booklets. The first one is on believing. We have young people out there that don't even believe there's a God. They live in a world where they say, prove it to me. This program will show them that there's no way they can get away from it, that there is a God that created everything that we have. And then we go into a need for a Savior. Teach them about Jesus and what Jesus can do. You can't find satisfaction in this world in other things. I tried for so many years to do all those things that are in the world. I was probably the last person that should have ever... would ever obey the gospel. I'm not telling you. I just tell you, it was just terrible, terrible things I did. But because of God and His love for me, to have me come to know about Jesus and to serve Him now, I every night I go to bed, I just thank God. I said, why do you love me that much? And that's what this is all about, learning about Jesus. And last of all, what the family of God is like. We're developing a fourth course, and it'll be out pretty soon. It's for those that have fallen away from the Lord to help them. But anyways, here's the program. It can be used in all these various areas, women's group, family Bible studies, personal Bible studies, youth and adult classes. It is just an amazing program, free of charge. You want it, order it. We'll get it over to you. The only thing you have to pay for is the booklets, okay? Methodist, invite a friend. You can start out one. Go out and take that QR code, and you got some people that are friends of yours that aren't Christians. You can start your own study group. Send them an invitation. Say, come on next Wednesday night. No, not Wednesday night, but Thursday night at 6, 7 o'clock, and we're going to get together and we're going to study. And though you get them onto your group, and you study in a non-threatening way with them, and the videos are amazing. They will get on there and they'll see these videos and they think, oh my goodness, I didn't know that. And it will guide them through. So from that, last year, 271,000 views of videos only in the United States. Closing out, our resources, I'll go back on that. Can I go back? Yeah. Our resources that we use, of course, is the Master Series, the Bibles, our Bible curriculum, all that's on the table. Please look at that stuff over. And we provide the sources you can use to go out there and evangelize. The Master Series, or the seven booklets, the primary core of all of our studies. The study Bibles, you've already had those. Many of them are in the pew. You got to have really good eyes to read that. I went out and got a bigger one. I got a big print. But we're coming out. We have two versions that we'll be using. We have the New King James now coming, and the New American Standard will be, we're in the process of printing that right now. We should have those available, $5. So you can go out there, you can get it on your phone, but if you have someone you want to give a Bible to, that's a good way to evangelize. Bible curriculum books, they're out there too. Please look those over. If someone's having a Bible class searching for material to use, contact Will Bible School. These are great materials. You want to know something about the history of the church? Go order the book on the church. You wonder why we don't have instrumental music in the church today? You think it's a matter of, well, it's opinion? Go look at the covenant one there on the mystery of music, and it'll show you why You know, I have gone to congregations that, well, how come you guys don't use an instrument? I have a piano organ in your church. You guys can't afford it? No, that ain't the reason. We're going back to New Testament Christianity. I don't see Paul hauling in an organ or piano into the congregations as he established as he traveled around the country. We have the Connect material available for you, but become a fishers of men. And that's what I'm closing out with. I want you to think about your relationship with the Lord and how you can share the gospel. I met with the elders, and they got a lot of material to look over. And hopefully they'll look at something and say, hey, we can use that for the congregation. But I want to have a call to action for each one of us as individuals that we can share the gospel with those around us. And I want to start out by saying that as you cast the net, that one of the first ways you can help out is by giving. One of the things that we've done at World Bible School over the years is trying to develop programs where individual Christians can be involved in evangelism as if they were handing the course out. It costs $5 for a student for a year. So we developed this program for the next 3 years of going out and asking people if they'd like to give. And we're going to be, you can look at your publication now. Take your publication. And as you look at it, see that QR code there? For you techie people, and you'd like to give to World Bible School, you can just take a photo of that and you can do it that way. I don't do it that way. I have to do it the old way. But here's what I'd like you to consider. Open this up. Turn all the way over to page 15 of your publication. And you'll see on there, and this was just completed, we have put together a 3-year campaign where we're looking for 500 churches and 5,000 individuals to help out on a monthly basis. What is the amount we're asking people to help with? $5. You say, Rick, only $5? Yeah. Why? Because when we were raising a family and we were trying to pay the bills and not take away from our local congregational contribution, we were only able to give a few dollars. But that few dollars made all the difference. You get 5,000 people doing that, and look what you have, $25,000 per month going in to have more students sign up. So if you're able to give $5, I don't even know, what is Starbucks now? Anybody gone to Starbucks lately? How much is Starbucks coffee? Anybody? Huh?
More than five.
More than five? So if you can give up a cup of coffee, give it to World Bible School so we can go out and we use it immediately to go out and teach another student. Please sign up, but don't do it tonight. Take that home. Read it over. There's an envelope in there, and if you're able to do it, take that last page, tear it off, fill it out, wrap it up, put it in the envelope, and mail it to us. And let me preface this one more time. Do not take it away from your contribution here. That's our first obligation. Mary and I do ours once a month. Because we're only there about once a month. The rest of the time we travel, so we make sure our contribution goes to the local congregation. But we help World Bible School. We also help some other works too, but please consider being involved in doing that. And the last thing I'm going to say now, and I didn't have enough of these, but I will say this, and I think it's kind of neat. There's a program I've been working on for 6 months, and I haven't written it out yet, and I'm going to hear about it tonight again. But one of our booklets is called This is Good News. I know I should get it done. But this booklet is in that series. And the elders, just order a bunch of these. Good news. And give one to every member in the congregation. And ask them to go out and give it to someone, a neighbor, a friend, a relative, and say, please read this over. It's only got 4 short lessons in it. And if they do, when they bring it back, give them a Bible for doing it. That's the incentive for them to fill this out. Why? Because this one little booklet teaches the complete gospel in a non-evasive way. And if they do that, you've planted the seed. Is it our responsibility to make up their decision to obey the gospel? No. But it is our responsibility to what? Sow the seed. Thank you so much for allowing Mary and I to be here tonight. I am so happy John called us up and asked us to come here and share this presentation. If you have any questions whatsoever about the program or anything about World Bible School, if it goes to digital, don't ask me, ask Mary. If it's about paper, then I'll talk to you about that. Go back and look at the display back there. And I have a few Bibles back there. Extra Bibles. Four Bibles sitting back there. So the first four people that go back there, they can have them. But they're available for you. Let's see what time. Okay, we did all right. Okay, and I'm almost done. I'm going to let you out early. Maybe we can go to McDonald's tonight. But remember that $5 you're going to send to World Bible. And just a moment, we're going to stand and sing the invitation. Sunday nights is hard to offer an invitation sometimes. And, you know, as a preacher, most of the people in this assembly probably already obeyed the gospel. But just in case there's someone here that hasn't obeyed, we're going to offer that invitation. And we should always offer the invitation. And remember what I said about getting those little cards or some way. Relax and enjoy being a Christian, and don't be afraid to tell others about Jesus. I mean, isn't it great to be a Christian? Think about it. Right now, if I could snap my fingers and the Lord came back this very moment, we're going to heaven. That's something to be excited about. There was a time that I could snap my fingers and I was going to hell, and I knew it. And it was because of this lady here, her and my mother and my grandmother, that convinced me that I should quit living the way I live, that I need to give my life to Jesus. I wasn't going to tell this, but I got to tell this. I got to tell you this, what happened. We got married, a blind date. We went on a blind date, and 3 weeks later asked her to marry me. She would go to church. We had, 3 years later, we decided, let's have a child. And our daughter, Jody, was our first child. And she would get up every Sunday morning, get Jody all dressed up, and she'd kind of nudge me in the ribs and say, "Are you going to church with me today?" And I'd say, "No, I don't feel good. I don't want to go to church today. I'll just stay here." But you take Jody. And so she would. And then what she did, as soon as she walked out the door, I confessed to her later on what I did. So you'd go out the door, and the first thing I would do is go to the TV, turn it on, and watch Charlie Chan. We had a fellow named Charlie Chan who was on the TV back then. And I'd watch whatever series that was on TV. This happened week after week after week. One Sunday morning, it was time, and I always seemed to wake up just before it was time for her to go to church. And I was laying there, and she was laying next to me, and she didn't get up. And I said, "Mary, aren't you taking our daughter? Aren't you taking Jody and going to church?" And she says, "No, I've been thinking this thing over. And I go to church, and I take our daughter to church, but you stay home. And I figure if you're going to go to hell, you're going to take me with you and take your daughter." I'm getting a little emotional when I think about that. She was going to stay there with me. And it bothered me so much. And at the time, I was a UPS driver. And I would drive that truck every day, and every night I'd come back, and a bunch of us guys would go down the local tavern, local bar there, and we'd drink and go home and, just carouse a lot. But I had that in my head. And during the next two or three weeks, I got so sick. Emotionally, it bothered me so much. It was one thing for me to go, but for her to go and to my little baby to go, I wasn't going to have that. And finally, I called the preacher up early in the morning, 7:30 in the morning, September 23rd, 1975. I called him up and I said, I need to meet you at the church building. I said, I want you to baptize me into Christ. If God can tolerate me, I'll do whatever he asks me to do. And I remember being lowered under the water and coming up and to realize that all my sins were washed away and that now I'm a Christian. And I remember the last thing I said to Everett Tate, the one that baptized me into Christ, I said, I'll do anything God wants me to do. I've done enough for Satan. I'll do whatever he asks me. And would you know, one of the elders came up to me that next Sunday morning and asked me to do the opening prayer. And I said, I looked down and I said, Lord, I can't do that in front of all these people. And I said to that elder, I said, give me a couple of weeks. I said, I do what the Lord wants me to do, but not that quick. And I remember going to leaving the church building and going to work and getting in there and getting my truck all loaded up and ready to go out. And here comes all my buddies. You talk about the pressure that comes upon you. And they say, hey, we're going to Mr. T's tonight. I want to know if you come with us. And I said, I don't do that anymore. I don't do that. I don't drink anymore. And they said, and they all started laughing. I said, what are you talking about? You're the one that instigates most of this stuff. I says, no, but the Lord has different plans. And they said, what? The Lord? And brothers and sisters, all I can tell you is this, that the gospel that is brought forth in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter verses 1 through 4 sums it all up. That if you have someone that's trying to understand why you have to be baptized, it's right there. For when Paul wrote to the church there at Corinth, they were already Christians, but he was reminding them again that the gospel is simply this, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And when we come to a point in our life and when we're ready to give our life over to Jesus because of our faith in him, we reenact that. We find that in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, because it's a form of what Jesus did. It says it in that chapter. We reenact what Jesus did because of our faith in him, and we repent of our sins, we die to our old way of life, and when we're lowered under that water, we raise up in newness of life. Is it easy after that? No. There'll be struggles and trials, and you'll need to do a lot of praying, and you'll need to hang around a lot of Christians and give up a lot of your old friends. Found that out, but then you find the old friends coming back to you, asking you questions. And that gets kind of exciting too, because then you're able to teach them about Jesus. I just want to close that as we get ready to sing this song, if you're at a point in your life and you haven't obeyed the gospel, boy, I'll tell you, there's nothing like it. Nothing like it. Because when you do, and you're buried with Jesus, and you come up out of that water, and you know you're going to heaven, and you're ready to go, and you want to, and that was one thing I'm talking too much, but I got to say this. They should have never put me in a truck that morning to drive, because I didn't care if that truck hit a tree. I knew where I was going that morning, and maybe I drove a little erratic, but I got through the day, and the next day, and the following days, and Mary and I, how we grew in the church here in Saginaw, Michigan is, they needed the classroom painted, and we painted every classroom in that church building because we didn't know what else to do, but we wanted to get involved and not be tied up in things of the world. So brothers and sisters, God is making a call to each one of us to do our best while we're here, this is such a short time, to go out and live the life he wants us to live and to share Jesus with those around us. And never, never, never give up on anyone. If there's a relative in your family, if there's someone you know that's fallen away, spend more time on your knees in prayer and ask God to touch your lives and watch what will happen. God does make a difference. The invitation's yours now as we stand and sing.